Chapter 1. Claire. Claire Danvers was in a rare bad mood, and nearly getting arrested didn't improve it. First, her university classes hadn't gone well at all, and then she'd had a humiliating argument with her advisor. She usually thought of him that way, in quotes, because he didn't advise her to do anything but take boring core subjects and not challenge herself. And then she'd gotten a completely unfair B on a physics paper she knew had been letter perfect. She would have grudgingly accepted a B on something unimportant, like history, but no, it had to be in her major. And of course Professor Carlyle wasn't in his office to talk about it. So she wasn't fully paying attention when she stepped off the curb. Traffic in Morganville, Texas wasn't exactly fast and furious, and here by Texas Prairie University, people were fully used to stopping for oblivious students. Still, the screech of brakes surprised her and sent her stumbling back to the safety of the sidewalk, and it was only after a couple of fast breaths that she realized she'd nearly been run over by a police cruiser. And a policeman was getting out of the car, looking grim. As he stalked over to her, she realized he was probably a vampire. He was too pale to be human, and he had on sunglasses even here in the shade of the building. Glancing at the cruiser to confirm, she saw the extreme tinting job on the windows. Definitely vampire police. The official slogan of the police was "To Protect and Serve," but her boyfriend called the vampire patrol the "To Protect and Serve Up for Dinner Patrol." It was unusual to see one so close to the university, though. Normally, vampire cops worked at night and closer to the center of town, where Founders Square was located, along with the central vamp population. Only the regular residents would see them there, and not the transient, though pretty oblivious, students. "I'm sorry," she said, and swallowed a rusty taste in her mouth that seemed composed of shock and entirely useless anger. "I wasn't looking where I was going."
"Obviously," he said.
Like most vamps, he had an accent, but she'd long ago given up trying to identify it. If they lived long enough, vampires tended to pick up dozens of accents, and many of them were antique anyway. His facial features seemed maybe Chinese?
"Identification."
"For walking?"
"Identification."
Claire swallowed her protest and reached in her backpack for her wallet. She pulled out her student ID card and Texas driver's license and handed them over. He glanced at them and shoved the cards back.
"Not those,"
he said.
"Your town identification."
"My what?"
"You should have received it in the mail."
"Well, I haven't." He took off his sunglasses. Behind them, his eyes were very dark, but there were hints of red. He stared at her for a moment, then nodded.
"All right. When you get your card, carry it at all times, and next time watch your step. You get yourself hit by a car, I'll consider you roadkill."
With that, he put the sunglasses back on, turned, and got back in his car. Before Claire could think about any way to respond, he'd put the cruiser in gear and whipped around the corner. It did not improve her mood. Before she could even think about going home, Claire had a mandatory stop to make at her part-time job. She dreaded it today because she knew she was in no shape to deal with the incredibly inconsistent moods of Mernon, her vampire mad scientist boss. He might be laser-focused and super-rational. He might be talking to crockery and quoting Alice in Wonderland. That had been the scene during her last visit. But whatever he was doing, he'd have work for her, and probably too much of it. But at least he was never, ever boring. She'd made the walk so often that she did it on autopilot, hardly even noticing the streets and houses and the alley down which she had to pass. She checked her phone and read texts as she jogged down the long marble steps that led into the darkness of his lab, or lair, whichever mood he was in today. The lights were on, which was nice.